Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Take a seat, guys. Good to be together in the house of the Lord. I want to just speak this out to you. If I could hammer and nail this right into your heart. The Lord gave me this morning, Isaiah 43. But now, O Israel, the Lord who created you says, do not be afraid. For I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Everyone say, I belong to God. Now listen, if God owns something, believe me, he's going to take care of it. You're not out there by yourself. That's why he said, don't be alone. He says, you are mine. And when you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious to me. You are honored, and I love you. I want you to hear something in your spirit this morning. I'm not sure what river you might be going through, what fire, what hell you might be passing through at this time. A problem is not evidence that God is not in control. In fact, when there's a problem and God rescues you and he makes you the promise and he says, this is not going to undo you, you're going to survive this. When you survive what you are going through, you come out on the other side, then you really realize how strong God is and how his hand is on you. I want to pray for you. And especially if you're going through a hard time tonight, I know people are going through situations with family and financial situations and you need healing in your body. You're going through this, but you're coming out on the other side. Do you believe that? Because you are God's and you belong to him. Let's bow our heads and pray. I want you just to receive his deep love. I want you to allow great faith to just work in your heart right now. Holy Spirit, I thank you right now, ministering as only you can, Lord, that you would speak and touch our people, Lord, across this campus, Lord. Reach down and touch people that are hurting right now, Lord. Just put your hand on people and let them sense your awesome strength and your awesome peace. Lord, I thank you for peace like a river, Lord. Even in the fire, even in the storm, Lord, you're calming. You're giving us great assurance. And Lord, we rejoice that we belong to you. And that we will not lose and we will not be destroyed and we will not be defeated, but we will come through on the other side. Lord, bless your people. Strengthen them with this, I pray, in the strong name of Jesus. And everyone that believes said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah one more time. Robbie and Bria, come on, share whatever's on your heart.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Well, good morning. Good morning. My name's Albert Castaneda. This is my wife, Jenny. We are the Generations pastors here and excited to serve. And we've had the honor of serving in the youth ministry for the past 10 years here at this church. And we've given our lives to these young people, and it's so amazing to see God use them. And we Not only do we know that they are called by God, but we believe in that call. We are committed to see them fulfill their call and their purpose and destiny. And we're seeing it right before our eyes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. We are in for a treat today. We have four speakers that are going to be speaking, from two from Reality and two from Lift Community, and they have a word inside of them. This morning when I was in prayer, I really heard the Lord remind me of a verse, and he said, those who have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And I tell you that the Spirit of God is alive and living in every one of us, including our four speakers today, and God has given them a word to share. So let's open our hearts and let's receive what God has through these individuals. I'm going to introduce the first speaker, Uriah Aldalco. I've been practicing that. Come on up, Uriah. Uriah has been a part of Reality for the last couple of years, and he recently just joined the student leadership program. And since the day we've met him, he has been raised up in a strong family of believers, and he is not afraid to share his faith, and he has a heart for God. So let's give it up for Uriah.
Awesome. Thank you, Pastor Jenny. Okay, so hi guys, my name is Uriah. And so like they said, I've been in youth for about 2 years now. And right away I already knew I was being part of the family because Pastor Albert and Pastor Jenny, they accepted me right away and I was just, wow, like it was amazing. As they also said, I've also been a part of internship, and that really raised my relationship with God. Like it really encouraged me to really pursue God even further. And one thing I really grabbed from both being in youth and from being in internship was the amounts of grace God has placed in my life. So the title of my message today is Grace. What are we going to do with it? So first verse I want to start off with is 2 John chapter 1, verses 3. Grace, mercy, and peace, which come from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, will continue to be with us who live in truth and love. As we continue, I'm going to shed light on the meaning of this passage. So everyone knows about John 3:16, but what everyone forgets is John 3:17. God did not send his son to judge the world, but to save the world through him. God has placed an abundance of love and grace over our lives. He sent his perfect, sinless son to save a sinner like me. Notice when it says God did not send his son to judge the world, Jesus wasn't sent to force rules and godly guidelines on us. No, he was sent to love us and show us his mercy, his forgiveness, and his grace. He went to save us. So what does grace mean? According to the Webster Dictionary, the first definition of grace means a virtue or a positive coming from God. So that means when we accept Jesus Christ into our lives, we're able to go into God's kingdom. Like that's already given to us. Now, the second definition of grace means a special favor or privilege. Privilege means a right or immunity granted as a peculiar benefit, advantage, or favor. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." We didn't earn the right to have grace. We didn't earn it. Because if we did, we'd be able to go to other people and say, "Hey, I did this, this, this. So now you got to do this, this, this in order to be saved." No, it's not about that. That's why it says it is a gift of God. God gave us that gift. Once we accept Jesus Christ in our life, that's it. That's all that matters. God gave us grace. So it continues by saying, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." As children of God, we were given the privilege to live a saved life through his grace. We all have fallen short and have sinned, as it says in Romans chapter 3. But after accepting Christ in our lives, there is no more worry about death or our future. Since through our deaths, we gain a new life with the Savior, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And slip through here right here. So with this newfound grace, what are we going to do now? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 2 says, "Live a life filled with love." I'm going to say that again. Live a life filled with love. Following the example of Christ, he loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. These are our guidelines to live godly, Christ-like. None of us are perfect, and we will mess up. We will. But God forgives and has an abundance of grace placed in our lives. When we fall, God is there to pick us up. And once we start trusting God and start building that relationship, we're called to something more, something greater. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations." Go and make disciples of all the nations. It doesn't say to sit down, you know, just go to church every Sunday. You know, we're just going to be church people. You know, okay, cool. I listen. I'm going to go home, do the same thing I'm going to do. No. It says, God says to spread his love, spread his glory, spread his love and his, just spread it. Make disciples. Use your gifts. Work out your purpose in this world. Find it out. Go with God. Find that relationship with God so that you could use that purpose that God has for you. With God's grace, there's no need to worry about the little things anymore. God is handling that. God has given each of us different unique gifts, gifts of communication, gifts of music, gifts of art, building, engineering, et cetera, et cetera. With the gifts God has given each of us, and by his grace, we can now truly and freely live out in our purpose. He's only waiting on you. So I'm going to go back to the first verse I gave you guys, 2 John 1:3. Grace, mercy, and peace, which come from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, will continue to be with us who live in truth and love. So what is that saying? So what I believe it's saying is this. Grace, the privilege and right to enter God's kingdom. Mercy, the act of not punishing us for our sins. And peace in our mind, body, soul, and spirit, which come from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, will continue to be with us who live in truth and love. Loving God throughout each day and fulfilling your purpose to teach others about God's love and grace. Grace is just the beginning, the first step to living out a godly life. Now it is up to us to go out and show others the love that God has given us. You were freely given, now you go freely give. God bless you.
That was powerful, man. You're so cool. Look at this guy. Come on. Converse, just, but a heart for God and a gift. Awesome. Hey, you and I had a talk recently about a passion that's stirring up inside of you. Tell our church what, briefly, just tell us what you want to be doing.
Well, for me, I have a heart for helping the homeless, you know, the ones that don't have much and don't have, because I feel like, you know, sometimes like we get caught up so much in ourselves that we don't really look at other people, you know, and see like God calls us to love others and show others the love that he's given us. So why don't we help those people, you know? And I just have a really big passion for that. I hate to see people that like are needy and are need that can't even raise a family because of their needs. And it's just, that's in my heart just to help those people.
Amen.
And that's just what I want.
Amen. How many believe he's going to do great things for God? Yeah. How old are you, Uriah?
I'm 16.
16 years old. Come on, give it up for Uriah one more time. Thank you. Proud of you, man. Great job. Love you. All right. Man, here we go. Here we go. Our next speaker is a part of our Lyft community, and I've had the privilege of hanging out with him a few times, and Jeremy has completed his... come on up, Jeremy. Come on up. Jeremy, this is cool, man. I like this. You've completed your assignment in the firehouse, and you'll see this young man serving at every Lyft service. He's behind the scenes, serving hours before service, connecting wires, getting sound checks, and what an amazing, amazing heart. You're going to share something with us? We love you, man. We're proud of you. Here we go. Welcome, Jeremy Chase, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Dang. I was like, how do I follow that guy? I'm going to share my testimony today. And in scripture it says, or it's John 11:4. It says, this sickness will not end in death, but will glorify God. And I want to glorify God. With the gift of grace that he's given me. So here we go. I saw my first pornographic image at the age of 11. But the addiction didn't fully kick in until I got to high school when, you know, cool was being the thing, you know. I knew it was wrong in my spirit, but I wasn't close to the church. I wasn't close to the Holy Spirit. So it was just one big tug of war, you know? I didn't really want to stop. You know, I enjoyed it. I fit in. You know, people were talking to me now. I was part of the conversation, which I really wasn't at that time. One day a thought came to me that if I just told my parents that everything would be okay, you know, and that was really hard because it was, you know, I have to tell my parents. How the heck do I do that, you know? It's like, what kid wants to go to their parents and be like, yeah, I'm struggling with porn. You know, it's terrible, you know? So I thought this was something that I was going to have to struggle with for the rest of my single days because, you know, once you get married, everything clears up, you know? It's all good, you know? So shame, guilt, and fear were the chains that held me captive. I didn't have any joy in my life. I was extremely quiet in school, you know. For the Lyft people, they know that I'm a quiet person, but even more so. You know, I was very withdrawn. I was socially accepted, but personally and spiritually, I was in a cage, and I couldn't get out of it. Praying never worked. Trying to stop never worked. It was just that one thing that was just holding me. Fast forward to August 2013. I'm about to move out for the first time from my parents' house. And there was just that one thing looming over me. You know, my faith in God was being strengthened, and I just had this weight, you know, holding me down. And I didn't want to carry that into my next season. And so one night I was at my pastor's house from Hollister. I was at his house having dinner, and for some reason I knew that this was the night that I would tell my parents. And after through some of the most intense sobs I've ever had, I told my parents, I said, "Dad, Mom, I am sorry. For about 6 years, I have been struggling with pornography and self-gratification. I didn't want to tell you because I was ashamed and I didn't want to disappoint you." After the tears had dried up, I remember hearing, "Who the Son sets free is free indeed." It was just this weightless feeling that I've never felt before, and it was so awesome. And I knew that my struggle was over. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace," he actually didn't mention it earlier. "For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God." I had to step into that, into and accept the grace that God was giving me to quit my addictions and trust that He would make things right. 2 weeks later, I moved into the firehouse. 2 years later, I'm standing in front of you guys sharing my testimony. And the great thing is, this isn't just for me. God has a gift for all of us with grace to do what He wants us to do. That's the main point right there. God has gifted us with grace to do what He wants us to do. And just like a gift, we can choose to accept it or not. The great thing about God is He's always holding it out for us. Are you guys ready to take the grace that God has given you? Because He wants you to take it. He wants to see you thrive in those areas of suffering, to overcome the obstacles and break through the chains that are holding you captive. As a family in Christ, let's continue to accept the grace God has given us to pursue the lost, the trafficked, and the hurting.
Wow. That was powerful. That was courageous. That was what was needed for today. And I want to say this, that God is going to use you in such a powerful way to help people become free from those addictions. He uses all things for the good. And I see such a powerful gift in you. God is going to use you. We're so proud of you. Let's give it up for Jeremy. All right. I want to introduce our next speaker. Julia Hulk is from Reality. Come on up. Julia has been a part of Reality since she was a sophomore. She just graduated high school this past year. She's a third-year intern, and she has such a tender heart towards God, so I'm excited to see what God is going to speak through you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jenny. That was awesome. God is so good. That testimony was so good. Thanks, Jeremy. So today I'm going to be talking about, well, the theme is great grace, but I'm going to be talking about living in grace. Because it's one thing to know about grace, but another thing to actually be like living in it. So the definition of grace, let me start with that first. God's unmerited favor. And I want to emphasize unmerited because in our culture, it's so easy to rely on merit. Like we have to get these merit awards in school. Like we have to do good in order to get a certain position. Like it's always about this merit. But God's grace is unmerited. And that's something I learned in my, when I was growing, I grew up in church and it was something that I definitely was struggling with because I had such a works mentality. It was like, I have to do this, I have to do this in order for God to love me. But that is not true. That is not true. But it was just this mentality like, okay, I have to do good. If I'm not good, oh, God's never going to like save me. I'm not good enough. It was just kind of like that mindset. And I want to read Galatians 3:10. It said, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who's hung on a pole.'" And it's so awesome. Like God, He sent His Son Jesus to become a curse for us. Like everything that we can't earn this grace. It's God's gift. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. I'm going to say it a third time. No, all the speakers said this, but we need to hear it. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And that just totally freed me when I heard that. It's not by works. Nothing that we can do to gain God's salvation, but it's through Him. And the reason why Jesus came is for that. I cannot be good enough. That's why Jesus came, so He can save us. And that just totally clicked. And so that was me, like, not like living in grace, but I want to really share what living in grace kind of looks like. And I want to go over Romans 8, 12 through 16. And I'm going to read this first because sometimes we can forget who we are in Christ and the privileges that we have in Christ. And because we are sons and daughters of the Most High King. It is, yeah. All right, Romans 8, 12 through 16. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Yes. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received by your adoption to sonship, and by Him we call Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children." We are God's children. We have access to God. We can come to Him in prayer. You know, God is a loving God. He gives us, you know, gifts that we don't even deserve, like a good father does. And the trouble begins is that when we forget that, and that we just consecrate on our inadequacies, our fears, and then think of our smallness. But in Christ, He makes us strong. We are not weak without Him. With Christ, we are strong, and He gives us the power. It's not from ourselves, and it's from Christ that gives us the power. And we can get fear in the way, and that just, it can paralyze us. And it can just prevent us from living the life that God wants us. And so, in Him, we have security. Even though when things are crazy around us, when we're going through hard times, we know that somehow, some way, God is using all things for the good of those who love him, for the good of those who love him. And so I want to kind of close with this, our response to grace. It's not, we have grace, we don't just do whatever we want. Oh, we can sin. No, no, no. Not that. No. Paul says, Romans 12, 1 through 2, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, good, pleasing, and perfect will. And in the end, we're created to worship God. That's what we're here for. We're created to worship God. We're a sacrifice to him. And sacrifice means giving up something. You know, it's giving up our sin and living the life that we were before. And we're created to live a life of worship. What does that mean? It doesn't mean like we're on our knees like 24 hours. definitely we need to pray, but just living a life of worship. So that kind of means like when we're going through school, we can say, I'm going to school to worship God. We're going to work. I'm going to work to worship God. When we're going to church, we're here to worship God. It's like wherever we are here to worship God and to reflect Jesus to this world that desperately needs it. And so that's our response to grace, worshiping God and just living that life that God calls us. Amen.
Stay here. Wow. There's such a powerful spirit inside of you that is just wanting to come out. So thank you. I remember when we met you, you came on a Wednesday night to a game night. Oh, yeah. And there was a little bit of an accident. Yeah. You were chasing a Frisbee and you ran into, right. Yeah. And blood everywhere and towels and paramedics and surgeons. And I thought, I thought we're never going to see you again. Like, welcome to Gateway. We're never going to see you again. And that was about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And here you are. You serve on our prayer team that goes into Kid City once a month. You're on our intern team. You're on our core leadership team, and so many other things. And we are so proud of you. And we are glad you stuck around.
Thank you.
Amen. You're an awesome. Awesome woman of God. All right. Our last speaker of the morning, he really needs no introduction. Let me introduce you. Grant has done amazing things in this church. We are so proud of this young man. He has helped Pastor Mike pioneer and build the Lift Ministry. He serves on the core team or the vision team at Lift, and he's responsible for really helping. He's a former firehouse man and a true man of God. So, graduate of Impact, son of the house, awesome man of God. Come on up, Grant. Let's welcome Grant Gordon, everybody.
Good morning. All right. So I got a lot to pack into 5 minutes. So we're just going to get right into it, okay? A.W. Tozer once said, "The gravest question before the church is always that of God himself. And the most portentous fact about any man is not what he has given at any time or may say or do, but what he in his deep heart conceives God to be like." That's the gravest question before the church. So let's pray real quick and we're going to keep going. Father God, like Paul said, God, I don't come in eloquence of speech, but I come in the power of your Spirit. And I ask right now, Holy Spirit, that you would move in power. God, that you would cause us to know you as you truly are. In Jesus' name. Great grace is always tied to a great view of a great God. I need to say it again. Great grace is always tied to a high or great view of our great God. Isaiah 6 says, I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, and they were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations. The entire building was filled with smoke. And then I said, "I'm doomed, for I'm a sinful man. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." So you see, grace is always perfectly inseparable from God's greatness, his character, his heart, his desire, his intention, his disposition towards you. And in knowing God himself, knowing him as he truly is, it becomes possible to both understand and literally experience his grace. So how does the Bible define grace? In the Greek, the word is charis, and when used in describing God, it basically says it's describing his position. He is freely extended to give himself away to you because he's always leaning toward you to bless you. This is the position of God. He's not sitting back on his couch. He is eager. He is anticipatory. He is looking to bless you. That is his disposition towards you. So what's the purpose of it? What's the end game of grace? That you may know him and he you. That he may restore you and you would be restored to him, and that you may enjoy each other forever. That is the end game of grace. Jeremiah 9 says, "Don't let the wise boast in wisdom. Don't let the powerful boast in their power. Don't let the rich boast in their riches. But if you boast, boast in this, that you truly know me and that understand that I am the Lord who demonstrates unfailing love, who demonstrates grace and brings justice and righteousness to the earth." Take a moment and listen to this, to the heart, the purpose, and intention of God's grace for you. Ephesians is kind of a long passage. I'm going to pare it down. "Long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had you in mind. He had settled on you as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt you into his family through Jesus Christ, and what pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted you to enter into the celebration of this lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved son. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross. Grace and the cross are always inseparable. You cannot have one without the other. It's always tied to Jesus himself. Because of that sacrifice, we're free people, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of absolutely everything, provided everything you could possibly need, letting you in on the plans he took such great delight in making. It's in Christ that you find out who you are and what you were made for. Long before you first heard of Christ and got your hopes up, he had his eye on you. He had designs on you for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. I love it because it declares the utter supremacy of Christ, the high and lofty view of God with his purposes, which are intrinsically fixed upon you. Grace carries this connotation of transformationally imputing worth, value, rightness, merit, where there once was none. On the basis of his identity and character, which is always and unceasingly burning for your wholeness. When his goodness, his love, his grace touches you, it is nothing short of a literal metamorphosis. Your very spirit, your identity, is fundamentally changed into the very likeness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God has, since time itself, before that was even created, before time was, God hungered and thirsted with a desire unquenchable to know you and be known by you, to demonstrate his grace towards you and to be loved and freely by you in return. He will be satisfied with no less than revealing to all the heavens and the earth, to angels and all the powers in all times and all dimensions, to everything that ever has been, is, and ever will be, that he is unmatchably great and gracious. More than anything else, I'll close with this. More than anything else, hunger and seek to know God for himself. You will never miss grace if this be your ambition. In knowing him, you will find more grace than your heart could ever desire or hold. So I just want to close in prayer and ask the Lord to do this in us. Because my words are my words, but God's power is in this room right now to move inside of you, to do transformative things that a speech couldn't. So Father God, I ask that you right now, literally this moment, God, we believe as sure as I'm standing on this platform that you are in this room and that you're in us. And God, I just declare your love and grace and freedom and your will is that you be lifted high. And when we see you high and know you for who you are, you transform us because that is your will and desire, God. So do that work in us, Lord God, and we give you praise and all thanks and honor be to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was amazing. You know, I just feel that there's going to be a season of ministry coming out. I mean, you do ministry, you're committed, but there's going to be an anointing that's going to come on, a season of a harvest that you've sown in the past that's going to come. You're going to minister and you're going to touch more people, a broader age than you thought. Yeah. Amen.
And I just hear God saying wisdom and humility and the two together.
Right.
Powerful. Awesome. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Give it up for Grant one more time. Amen. Yeah.
That was good.
Before we conclude, I want to call up back up Robbie and Bria. Can you guys come on up and Kathy? Kathy, come on up. And we just wanted you guys to share just a little bit of the Lift ministry and what all goes on and why you guys do what you do.
Absolutely. So our mission statement in Lift is to glorify God by seeing love transform lives through intimate discipleship and creative outreach. If somebody asks, why are you guys doing what you're doing? That's really it. We want to see love transform lives. And if there's anything that we could be doing that isn't hitting that target, we don't want to do it. Now, some of the things that God has led us to be doing, we've got a Sunday night service every Sunday at 6 p.m. God is moving in powerful ways in worship, in fellowship, in the Word. That's every Sunday night at 6, people gather together, and that's sort of a hub. From there, we've got creative outreach happening on every Wednesday night. Cafe Lift is one of the Bay Area's best open mics. It's truly changing the artistic culture of the Bay Area. The other night, we had like 120 people out there, and it's really influencing this generation. And then people from there get plugged into church and plugged into God, and it's an incredible. We've got an amazing leadership team across the whole Lift community. That's one of our main creative outreach expressions. In addition to that, on the intimate discipleship side of things, we've got small groups meeting throughout the week in homes, here at the church, people going deep with each other and really going further in the Word and further in community than they could maybe in a corporate setting. So those are some of the main things. We've got many more things than that, you know, prayer and potlucks and social media and all that sort of stuff. But those are some of the main things.
So if you're in the 18 to around 30 age range, or if you know somebody that's in that age range that's not plugged in yet, please come talk with any of us afterwards. It is extremely life-giving and powerful to have people that are in the same stage of life that you can run with, that you can hang out with and pray for each other. And we have small groups that we can get you plugged in with and all kinds of fun stuff going on. And one of my favorite things about Lift is that friendships form that are like kingdom partnerships. Friendship is so powerful. It's one of God's most beautiful gifts to us. And I see friendships happening on our Thursday nights in the ladies group or in the men's groups on Sunday nights, just hanging out afterwards, talking about the message or having ice cream together after Lift. And those friendships are like a safety net. When you're having a rough day, you know you have somebody to call that knows you, that gets you, that's in the same stage of life, and they can be praying for you and basically just doing life together. So please come talk to us. We would love to get you involved with Lift.
Amen. Amen. Robbie and Bria, I want to say you guys are doing a tremendous job. your guys' heart, your dedication, your leadership is impacting the college community here in this church. Give it up for Robbie and Bria. Yeah. And so we have the privilege every week to come up here and highlight some of the youth activities that we do. But just to share our heart for the youth ministry, we believe that young people have a purpose and a call and a destiny. And we are committed to seeing that happen. And we are watching it happen right before our eyes. We love the Mark Twain quote. It says this. It says, "The two greatest days of your life is the day you were born and the day you find out why." And we're committed to seeing young people find out why they were born in this day, in this age, in this community, in this city, and that they are impacting their lives. We're committed to seeing that happen.
Yeah, I also want to say if you have a teenager and you think you know what, it's too late, they're too far off, and what good would it do to bring them? Just bring them. Because I was 16 when I got saved. I wasn't raised in the church, and I didn't know anything about God, but the Spirit of God was there when I would walk in that room, and it changed me from the inside out. So I want to encourage all of you who think that your kid's too far off. They're not too far off for God. So bring them and let us help you help them find who they are in Christ. Amen.
And we meet every Wednesday night and every Sunday, second service here. Kathy King, our children's director, children's ministry director. What do you want to say to us?
Well, I want to thank you all for allowing me to talk and to share my heart with you and our needs here at Gateway City Church in the children's department, in the newborns all the way through to the fifth grade, which is Kids City. And my husband is there serving right now, but we need more helpers. We need more parents to come in partnership with us, but we also need people outside of the outside of our children's ministry. If you have any giftings that you would like to share, we need you. We want you with us. We would love to have you join us. And I just want to share that our children aren't just there to learn about Jesus. They are hands-on. We teach them to pray over each other. We teach them to lead other children to Jesus. So, and that starts from the time they're 2.5 years old. So, and we're very proactive on that. We have this one little girl that told her family, so-and-so is sick. Mommy, we got to go right now. We got to go lay hands on her. That's the only way she's going to get healed. So I'm asking, I'm going to be out in the lobby, and I would love to see your faces there signing up. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Amen. Pastor Albert, Jenny, Kathy King, wow. Guys, I just want to point out something that's just so obvious. If you haven't caught the vision yet, you haven't been paying attention today, and you probably haven't seen what we're all about as a church. But Gateway is a church that from the early times of children's lives all the way up through junior high, high school, our college ministry, have our Impact School of Ministry. We are training people up, raising up this next generation for exploits because there's a lot of work to be done. And so having great services is wonderful. We believe in having great services, but we're very intentional about forming people's lives. And something that I believe in so much in my heart is happening every day in this church. People's lives are being shaped and formed. Young people are discovering their call. And that's something very important for the future, something very special for me and for all of us that share this miracle. None of this would be able to happen without the people that you've met today and literally dozens of volunteers that help them. We're touching hundreds of young lives each and every week. I'm not sure if you know that, but I'm talking about maybe 300 to 400 young people are being affected by this church on a weekly basis. Gateway Community Outreach and our KICS program and our community outreach and the youth and the high school and what's happening right now with children as we are in here, they're being taught and ministered to and loved. And it it touches my heart so deeply. So I want to thank you, those of you that when your phone rings or somebody asks you, hey, can you help us? Your child is being ministered to in a children's ministry. Could you help us once in a while? Thank you, those of you that are saying, yes, I would be delighted. And by the way, that's the right answer when somebody says, can you serve in children's ministry? Your children are being blessed. Help us out. Then the right answer is yes, I would be glad to. And thank you to the youth volunteers and the staff and the intercessors and everybody that's making the generational vision come alive. I have great hope for the future when I see young people like this that are being raised up, that God is raising up. I have great hope that they understand grace and they call us to holiness and they are children that pray and worship. It does my heart good, and I want to give God the glory for that today. And I thank you for your prayers and what you're doing. It's quiet work. It's hard work. It's exhausting work. But it is so worth it when you see a generation standing on their feet, standing in righteousness in the midst of a day like today. It's something very special. Amen. Well, we're going to close the service today. I'd like you just to stand with us, and Pastor Albert's going to bring it home. I want to call the altar workers forward. If you would just come and join us at this time, we just want to take a moment to pray with you and bless you and offer you some prayer and ministry. I think we're also going to be sending the team. Right, we are Wednesday morning. A group of how many?
18
young people will be going to the Dominican Republic for a week, and we are believing God. In fact, I want that team. You guys just come up here on the platform. The Dominican Republic team. If you're here, if you can hear my voice, if you're in the cafe or wherever you are, all the young people going to the DR, you come up and we're going to have special prayer, all right? We're proud of you guys. Let's give these guys a hand for being young missionaries, young world changers. Pastors, you guys, pastors, come on, join me. All the pastors come up and we're just going to lay hands on this team. Here's a generation that's saying, we got a passport and we're going for it. Hallelujah. And we're going to preach and teach and serve and minister. Wow. My heart is full. And if you can't tell, I'm very excited about what's happening in our church. And I'm so grateful to God for his grace and for helping us and empowering us to do this. Pastor Albert, you're a tremendous man of God. You and Jenny, I mean, you're amazing. Thank you for everything you've given for the last 10 years. It's been significant. I remember when we first started and there was just a little ragtag group of kids, you know. Nobody had even broke their face yet, Julia. We're just a... And every one of you that have served and helped, I thank God for you. Stretch your hands out toward this team. Father, we thank you for a successful trip. You're going to use this group, this team, Lord, as never before. Father, you have built in and scheduled amazing encounters in the Dominican Republic, a needy country, a poor country, a broken country. And Lord, you're sending forth this team with healing and with grace and with justice and with faith and with prayer. And Lord, we thank you, God, for using them beyond what they ever imagined. Lord, I ask you to take them way beyond their own abilities. I ask you to use them way more than they ever dreamed was possible. And Lord, let souls be saved and lives be transformed. And we pray great safety, angelic protection, and escorts over them. We lay hands on them. We send them forth with your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Now, guys, I don't know. Albert, what do you got to say? All right. Just before we go, I want to let you know, if there's any question in your mind about whether grace is operating in your life, if you don't have the assurance that your sins are forgiven, you can leave this building today just absolutely set free by God's power. You heard it four times, for by grace you are saved, and not through your works. It's a gift of God. And so I want to say a prayer with all of us today. I'm going to say the words and you say it with me. All right, can we just all say this prayer together? Every person praying, Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for grace. I receive your grace. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior, the true Son of God. And from this day forward, I will serve him through the power of the Holy Spirit and for the glory of God. And everyone said amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. God bless you. Hallelujah. If you need special prayer, there are people here that love and care. If you need healing prayer in your life, if you just want to check in with someone and talk about a problem, there's folks right up here. God bless you. You are dismissed. Amen. God bless everybody. Good job.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.